Blog Talk Radio.
The opinions and views expressed by the guests on this segment are not necessarily the views or opinions of the 22days.com radio network.
Hello?
Welcome to 22days.com radio network, the most comprehensive and advanced personal development platform for success.
Broadcasting to the world, around the world, delivering to you the most valuable sources of information for the brain, body, and soul. This is the 22days.com radio network. And a welcome to you tonight on the Brain, Body, and Soul 22days.com radio network. Again, I welcome all of you listening from around the world. Maybe you're going to listen to this on a recording or a podcast. Either way, I welcome you and I appreciate your participation. So tonight, the meat and potatoes of this segment is the opposite polarity of what the title is. And the title is, you are choosing to live out a sucky life. And maybe you have an amazing life. Maybe you have a prolific life. And if that's the case, then perhaps one small little gold nugget that I may share with you on presenting this information material may just spark something inside of you to look at your life and say, I can do better. And I really think that anybody listening to this segment, anybody for that matter, walking this planet, can do better in their life, in some facet of their life. So I want to welcome you to this segment, really, and I ask for you to really ponder and consider the things that I am about to share with you, because I always say that I don't claim to be right or wrong in anything that I present to the audiences out there. I just make some suggestions for you to consider and see if it fits into the criteria of your life. Because, I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again, that everybody is right walking the face of this earth. There's no other way, really, to kind of look at it from a logical standpoint because of the fact that people do not want to be wrong in anything that they do. That's why people argue. That's why people will defend their beliefs. And that's one of the reasons why people are really living out a sucky life, a life that they would much rather abandon and move into something more prolific. So have you ever questioned why the same problems keep repeating themselves over and over again in your personal or professional life? Have you ever questioned that? Like, why does this still keep coming my way? Many of you out there, maybe, and I hear it a lot in relationships where people say to me, man, Logan, I just keep getting the same guy every single time. I keep getting the same people when I go on dates. What is going on? Why do I keep getting the same reoccurring things? Well, it's very simple. Because in order for things to change for you, you have to change. And most people have it backwards. They think that they can just make some altercation on a physical level, like going buy a new car or a new house on the hill or diamonds or having more money in their bank account, or wearing a new set of clothes on a date, or maybe changing their hairstyle. Unfortunately, it just doesn't work that way. But, society really is programmed to do it this way. And we want to really break that down, that wall, and we want to create something new. And for many of you listening, maybe you already know this. Maybe you already know I need to go within to clean up myself so that way I have a better chance of resonating with more of what I desire. Because, as they say, we don't get what we want, we get what we are. So that's why I always say, what are you? Who are you? What makes you tick? And that's why it's important. So The question again is, why do the same problems keep repeating themselves over and over again in your personal and professional life? There's got to be something that keeps happening over and over in your life. You're just like, man, you're frustrated. Well, there's a simple and straightforward answer to this. You're making the same bad choices because you have a lot of practice at making the same bad choices. Now, we call them bad because we can't call them good when it comes to seeking more of a conscious level of life. So we have to give that polarity aspect, good and bad. Now, we go a little deeper here, and the brain, which is the most fascinating tool we have, it really is divided into two categories. Now, some would say it's the conscious, subconscious. That is true. But we're talking a little bit more on the level of the growing up brain and the grown up brain. Now, what are the differences between the two? Well, the growing up brain, of course, is really built when you were an adolescent, when you were a kid between the ages of 2 and 14. That is really the major makeup of who you are. And they've done a lot of studies on this with brainwave frequencies. And if you've never studied the brainwave frequencies, I would encourage you to do so because it's absolutely fascinating. And they talk about the brainwave frequencies being different when you're a child versus when you're an adult. Now, there's several stages to the brainwave frequencies, and I'm just going to run through those really quickly so you can understand them. You have delta, which is sleep. You have alpha. Then you have theta, and then you have beta. And then, of course, you go gamma and whatever. But those are the four major ones, delta, alpha, theta, and beta. And right now, as we're talking and listening, we're mostly in beta. So the brain is there to really kind of sift through and say, I believe that, I don't believe that. I mean, you're really attentive to what's going on and what I'm saying. When you're a child, that's different because your brainwave frequency is much slower. And as a result for that, it's just so with the material that's coming into your life, don't do this, don't do that. Drink this. Don't eat that. That's not good for you. That's bad for you. That person's no good. That's no good. Don't do this. All those things that you were told as a child, you are a sponge absorbing that material from your parents, your teachers, your friends, your siblings. And the only way to absorb that material to a high degree is you need to be slowed down. Slowed down. And, of course, again, the brainwave frequency aspect proves that theory. And that's, again, the reason why we're slower when we're a child. And so that's the two categories. We have the growing up brain, which is between the ages of 2 and 14. And then we have the other, which is the grown up brain. And that's pretty primarily, of course, all of you listening is going to have the grown up brain. Now the growing up brain, the child brain, again, it's the one that's impulsive, irrational, unreasonable, and self-critical. It doesn't have a lot of experience. It's very spontaneous. It's not fully aware of what it's doing, and of course, it's less mature. And all you got to do is compare your maturity level now versus when you were in your childhood stages. Now, this part's the primitive, impulsive part, again, the spontaneous part, where decisions are all about what's familiar, what's easiest, and what feels the best overall in any given situation. Now, take that situation right there. I mean, that statement right there. The growing up brain is the part that's primitive, it's impulsive, it goes with the decisions that is most familiar, what's easiest, and what feels the best overall in any given situation. Is that how you live your life out? Namely, because again, it's the predominant brain functionality is what's going to run your life. Now, the grown-up brain, the one that we're hoping to use, of course, in the adult stage of life, that's the one that's logical, practical, and reasonable. Now, this part of the brain will help you get out of repeating the same things over and over again on a 24-hour cycle. It will help you not repeat the same problematic situations in your life. Now, it utilizes logic versus the growing-up brain, which doesn't utilize as much logic. And, of course, this is where the rational part of the decisions in your life, they start to make a lot of sense. And this will help you stay on track towards what you truly want in your life. We all want to have a higher state of consciousness. We all want to be and look a certain way in the mirror. We all want to, you know, break some kind of habit in our lives. And, you know, my great friends over at My Imagination TV, Steve and Tasha, Now, Steve has come up with a fantastic method, which is called the One Habit. So I will use that tonight just to ask you one question. And that would be, in your life, if you could create one new habit, what would it be? What would that habit be? Now, my job really, because I'm going to be taking on this project for the health aspect, my development of this will be, what habit do you want to create for your healthy lifestyle? We're not going to get into the healthy aspect tonight. We're talking about the brain. But realistically, what would the habit be for you to make changes in your life? Just one habit, not five or ten, one. Now, I threw a statistic out last week on the last show, and I've probably thrown it out many other times in other shows, but that is, you know, 80% of all New Year's resolutions, they fail within the first 90 days. 80% of them. Now, what's the number one New Year's resolution? I want to reduce my weight, definitely, or I want to quit smoking or whatever, but normally it's I want to reduce my weight. Now, why do 80% of them fail? Because they have other habits that predominantly rule their life. That's the only logical explanation for that. And, of course, we're now not using the grown-up brain, we're using the growing-up brain, what you were taught when you were a child, which mainly sticks in your life. So the problem is that many people, we still operate from the growing-up brain. That's what we do. And that really doesn't help us moving towards the bigger and better lifestyle. It really, really doesn't. But that's the problem we have. And we call it a problem because that's the only verbiage we can use. But we still operate from the vast storehouse of that growing up brain. And it's nothing more than habits. Listen, life is a big habit broken down into all little other habits. Because realistically, when you came into this world, when I came into this world, when we came into this world, you bought into much of everything that was already going on. I mean, listen, planet Earth did not need you to come here. It was doing just fine on its own without your presence. But for whatever reason you believe, you're here now. And now you're a difference. You're a difference maker in this world. You actually make a mark in this world. And, of course, that's the reason why you strive to become a better person, a higher state of consciousness, more loving, more giving, more caring. We hope to, because on this show, brain, body, and soul, everything is connected. And we strive to present you material that will get you to a higher state of consciousness in the most expedited fashion. And that means that whatever it is that you're seeking, we hope that it has love involved in it and it's on a selfless level and it's not egotistically driven, but we utilize the best strategies possible, and that's hence the brain, because the brain is really your biggest asset. We hope it is, because many people, it's a liability. I mean, you have any conversation with anybody, mainly on the streets, who's really not educated in the aspect of raising their conscious level, and you'll see the ignorance that comes out of their mouth. I mean, we're all ignorant, but realistically, you can listen to a person have a conversation on their phone, at the airport, and you'll just hear some stuff, and you're just like, wow, really, is this what this person's talking about? And, you know, if they really were aware of what they were talking about, they wouldn't be talking about it. But really, why are they talking about it? Because it's habitual. You do it because you love it. And people say, I don't love stress. I don't love talking about this. Well, you must, because you continually talk about it. And the law of attraction is nothing but the law of love. Whatever you attract, you must love it. There's something in it for you to really benefit from. And that's why you stick with it. So, again, it's nothing more than habits. And these habits that are played out in your life over and over again, those are the ones that predominantly keep showing up. Practice makes perfect. You want to be a good piano player? You got to take lessons or at least practice on the piano. And the more you do it, the better you're going to get. Well, that's you and I. That is our habits. So the question again, what one habit would you want to establish in your life to not have a sucky life, to have an amazing life? Now, of course, I used the title that maybe wanted to get your attention, but I didn't literally mean you have a sucky life. Maybe you have a great life, but there are some facets in your life that you really would love to rise to the top and really become more prolific in your life. So what habits are you good at? And which ones have you quite literally perfected? Now, the question I asked under where is the problem? Would you want an 8-year-old managing your business or running your life or being your personal assistant? Would you allow an 8-year-old to do that? Obviously, it would be a big emphatic no. Of course not. That's an absurd question. But if think about it from a logical perspective, ladies and gentlemen, if you are using your growing up brain, the one you were incorporated with when you were a young child, then really, in a sense, that's what you're doing. You're allowing yourself to be controlled and dictated by someone who is in their adolescent stages, early teens. I mean, think of it this way. People, I mean, when you talk about, I do web design and I do graphic design, and you know, the things that I've learned is when you do web design and you build your website, you need to keep it at an seventh or eighth grade level when it comes to the English verbiage that you use. That's absolutely crazy. Seventh or eighth grade English. Why do we have to do that? Because if you don't, you're going to lose people. And when it comes to marketing, you want to gain people. And that just tells you that if the reading is still on a seventh or eighth grade level, what do you think that means when it involves their life? The majority of their life, is it still on a seventh or eighth grade level? That's absolutely crazy to think about. And it's something to scratch your head upon, but really that is the only logical way to look at this. So now it's really, the time right now is of the utmost importance. And in order for you to really thrive in life, it's vitally important to use that grown-up brain. Grown-up brain. That is the one you want to focus on. And, of course, that's where, you know, MyImaginationTV.com and Steve Simblis and Tasha Cooney, these great people, they've developed something called the One Habit, which is phenomenal. And think about it. You know, if you have one thing to change in your life, it's much easier than having to change five. Now, I come from a health and wellness background. I've been doing it for a very long time. And so I work with a lot of people when it comes to nutrition, and people ask me for advice on working out and how do I do this and how do I do that? How do I get more tone? How do I release this 20 pounds? And, you know, and then, of course, you have to give them a list, a set of instructions on what to do to get to where, let's just hypothetically say someone wants to release 20 pounds. They're 20 pounds heavier than what they need to be. And they come to me and ask me, Logan, what do I have to do to, you know, drop these 20 pounds? I have a wedding coming up in a couple months and I want to look my best. Well, I have to provide them with a set of instructions on what to do. And of course, it's not just one new habit they're going to have to learn, because we're talking about maybe somebody who doesn't work out, who doesn't eat good, who doesn't take care of themselves, you know, doesn't drink enough water, doesn't have enough salt intake in their body. I mean, a lot of things that they are not doing. This is a difficult project to undertake when it comes to being someone who's going to coach and train them and work on their nutrition and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, listen, old habits die hard. We all have heard that expression. Well, it's no wonder they all die hard, because people are using their growing up brain, their adolescent brain, and they don't even know it. So when this person comes to me and wants to release the 20 pounds in 3 months and you give them those set of instructions, it's a daunting task to really win this person over and have them do the things that you set out for them to do. It really, really is. And I want people to be successful. That's what I'm all about. That's why I do this. I'm so passionate about this. I want people to succeed in life. Because when you succeed, I succeed. That's because it's brain, body, soul. Everything's connected. Realistically, there's got to be a formula for people to really understand what they have to do. And the One Habit is amazing. So the One Habit, what would you do in your life to change, or to add to, I should say? Because once you focus on the One Habit, then something else has to be sacrificed. That's how it works. So if you don't work out and you come to me and you want to lose 20 pounds and I tell you you got to start going to the gym 4 times a week, that time, I mean, that gym time is going to it's going to have to take over the time that you would normally spend sitting in front of the television, which adds to the problem. So it's like, which one do you like more? Do you want to actually release the 20 pounds and look good for the wedding? Or would you rather just sit on the couch for, you know, the 4 times a week and not go to the gym and watch television and waste your life away in front of the television? Well, it's sad to say, people, that's why people's New Year's resolutions fail. Not because they sit in front of the television, but maybe it's something else. But something else that they love habitually will take precedence over their life. It will be a predominant factor in their life. And in order to get out of this repeating cycle of problematic situations, you have to be making choices from the grown-up brain, the one that's logical, practical, and reasonable, as I mentioned, as opposed to the one that's impulsive, self-critical, it's not practical. So we have to really divide the brain into two sections, child and adult, adult and child. And again, I go back to the reading aspect. When I make a website, I'm told from the professionals to keep it at a 7th grade or 8th grade reading level. So what does that tell me about how people run their lives? There are some instances where people have exceptions in some people, where they really have a 7th grade reading level, but they're more proficient in other things. But I use that as an analogy just to show you really some considerations on your part. Where are you and where do you stand in your life? If your child brain, if your growing up brain is the one that's in charge of making the decisions, you're going to keep getting the same things over and over again from that perspective. So, I mean, if you're really, if your belief systems are so set in stone, which most people's are, where are they coming from? We have to source those out. We really, really do. We have to source those out. We have to go to the cause of the issue, the temporary issue, because it's temporary. But if you're not in control of making the choices, if you're just living on automatic pilot, and that's what most people do, by the way, is they live on automatic pilot. And if you're living on automatic pilot, the situation at hand never gets addressed. The habits that you have ingrained in your life never get addressed because you're living on automatic pilot. What is automatic pilot? Automatic pilot is when you don't think usually during the day. Oh, you think about work. You think about solving problems at work. You think about family stuff that you got going on. I got to go to this wedding. I have to take my wife out to dinner. I have to cook dinner tonight. I got to walk the dog. I got to take the dog for its shots. I got to get it its rabies shot. I got to take it to the dog park. Let's go to the ocean this weekend. And yeah, that's thinking, but it's not really exercising the mind. It's not really looking at the child mind and deciding whether or not you're making the right choices in your life to get to where you want to be. And that's why the people that I talk to a lot, they keep having the same things happen over and over and over again. Just keep showing up. And then, of course, frustration sets in. Frustration leads to stress. People choose stress over happiness. And boom, their life just goes down the toilet with a big flush. It never gets to where it needs to be. Because it really is searching for the light. It's just like a plant. The plant grows, and as soon as the sunlight comes up, it starts reaching for that sunlight. It's searching for the light. That's exactly how human beings are. We are light seekers. Well, that's one of the reasons why we're drawn to the sun, for the most part. We're light seekers. We're truth seekers. We don't want to be duped. We don't want to be lied to. We want the truth. And when we don't get the truth, we cause an uproar for the most part. We want to make sure that the things that we believe are really the truth. And of course, again, there's only one truth, and that's yours. Keep that in mind. And a lot of people, till the day they die, will defend those beliefs and those truths, and they will not divvy up, and they won't even go, and they won't consider anything else. It's absolutely mind-blowing how people really live their lives. They're not open to suggestions and considerations. So the solution to this whole aspect of life is to really get the adult part of your brain to be the head honcho in the decision-making. Look, you don't want an adolescent running your life, being your personal secretary, running your business, what have you. You want somebody who's very competent, who's on top of things, who's really, and I use this lightly, keeping up with the Joneses. Someone who is well-versed, well-educated, intelligent, knows how to do things on an organized manner, and doesn't live an automatic pilot. Just think about the habits that you have. You're like, man, I have a bad habit. We all have bad habits. We call it bad habits. I have this bad habit. And again, why do you continually do that habit that you don't want to do? Because it's easy. It doesn't take any effort. It's comfortable for you. It's very comfortable for you. And you would much rather go down that path because it's the path of least resistance than venture off into something new that really would put you on the map. So if you've been stuck for a while, you've been making some not healthy choices, could mean that you'd do better with investigating what you think about on a day-to-day basis. And that takes exercising the mind. I'm all for the exercising of the mind. I've said this so many times, and I'll say it again. Most people work out. Most people that I know work out healthy. They go to the gym, they run, they exercise, they boat, swim, whatever. Yet they don't exercise their mind. It blows me away. They're more concerned about how they look in front of the mirror than really their intelligence level and not thinking from an ignorant standpoint. Ladies and gentlemen, where do you stand in life? What things were you taught when you were a child? Listen, I'm not immune to any of this kind of stuff. I've been doing what I call mental house cleaning for a numerous amount of years now. And I'm not letting the pedal up, man. I'm full steam ahead when doing my mental house cleaning. Why do I do that? Because I want more. I want to be a better conscious person. I want to be more loving, more giving, more caring. I want to detach from the ego as much as possible. Because we know from a karmic standpoint, what you put out, you get back. Why do we keep putting out the same things we don't want? Ask yourself that question. Why do you keep doing the same things that you do over and over and over again on a daily basis? And the answer is pretty simple. You love what you do. And you can say, well, I don't love my job, I don't love my girlfriend or boyfriend, or I don't love my relationship. Well, you must, because you're still in it. And you know, the funny thing is people will sit there and they will complain about it all the time. She did this to me, and he did that, and that person made me feel like this. She can't do it to you. He can't do it to you. They can't make you feel any way. You got to do it to yourself, and it's through habits. You practiced it so damn much that you're practically a professional at it. You know, I know a lot of professional complainers. That's what they're really good at. They're really good at complaining about things. It's amazing. They won't take that title, but they're definitely a professional. There are a lot of professional, unhealthy people out there. It's a funny thing, really. I'm a professional, unhealthy person. What makes you unhealthy? The way you think. Because the mind controls the body. Your body is the taxi cab, and the brain is the taxi cab driver. And it'll take you where you need to go, but you're always going to pay a price, just like you're paying for a taxi in the city. It'll take you where you want to go, but it's going to cost you. And we want to minimize that. We want to be able to rise up like a phoenix. Listen, man, this motivation that I'm giving you, these, you know, hopefully gold nuggets that you're taking in tonight, they'll mean nothing tomorrow. Nothing. Because you're on your own after that. Yeah, you can go back and, oh, listen, I'm on iTunes podcast and the Brain, Body, and Soul. All my shows are recorded, and I would obviously encourage you to listen to them. I study the same things over and over and over again, over and over and over. Bob Proctor is one of my mentors. I've been studying that guy since I started in personal development. To me, that guy's the best. For me, he's the best. I also have a lot of other favorites, Louise Hay and Dr. Joseph Murphy and, you know, many others. But Bob Proctor is the guy who really put me on the map. And you know why Bob Proctor is so amazing? Because he tells you how the brain functions and works, and then he tells you what to do to get out of that funk that you're in. He calls it conditioning. The X factor and the Y factor You have X type conditioning, which is the growing up brain. We want to move towards the Y type conditioning, which is the grown up brain, where we use the more logic and discernment in life. But it's just fascinating how people, knowing doesn't precede doing, ladies and gentlemen, knowing doesn't precede doing. That is so true. And why is that? Why do we continually do the same things when we know that they're not good for us? It's comfortable. It's habitual. Life is nothing more than a habit. That's it. And then underneath it, there's a bunch of small habits. And that's the makeup of your life. That's the makeup of mine. Again, you know, here's a great way to start off the new year today. Never mind waiting till January 1st. How about today we start with something new? Why does it have to be January 1st? That's just a novelty. How about today? We start today. What is your one habit that you want to do and to achieve? Because, again, one habit is much easier than taking on five. I go back and I digress a little bit here, and I was talking about the woman who comes to me and wants to drop 20 pounds and be ready for that wedding in 3 months. And I give her a set of instructions on what she's got to do. You think she's going to do all of them? Most people don't. They just don't take on and do all the set of instructions. You ask them after 2-3 weeks, hey, how you doing? Are you going to the gym 4 or 5 times a week? Yep, going there. Okay, great. Are you doing your 30, 40 minutes of cardio? Well, you know, no. Well, how do you expect to really be functioning at a high level and get down to where you want to be if you're not doing the work? Are you eating better? Are you staying away from chocolate? Are you, you know, eating organic foods? Are you taking in your salt and your water and making sure you're functioning at a physical level, at an optimal level? Well, you know, I'm not drinking enough water. And it's like these are simple things that people just don't do. You know, most of America is chronically dehydrated. And it blows me away. It's like water is so much more essential than food, but people would rather eat than drink the water. And I'll tell you why, because water doesn't have any taste. It doesn't taste salty or sugary. It doesn't really hit the sensor pleasures in the brain. You just stay hydrated with it, but it is so much more essential than food. You can't go more than 48 hours without drinking water, give or take, but food, you can go over a month without eating food and survive. Why do we continue to do it? Why can't we make these habits? These people that are out there, they want to release the 20 pounds, they want to get, you show them that set of instructions, and wham, they just fall flat on their face. So this new principle, this new one habit aspect that was created by Steve from My Imagination TV, phenomenal idea, and I love it. So I'm presenting it to you, and I'm challenging you with that. Is starting tomorrow, what new habit are you going to implement in your life to get you to where you want to be? Now, I'll give you a very simple one, since we're on the aspect of health, and I love talking about health and wellness. If you're chronically dehydrated, you're going to be tired. You're going to want to take naps. And your body's going to break down at a much more rapid pace. Your body's made up of over 70% water. You've got to drink it to keep it flowing. And the people that don't drink enough water, their skin looks like crap, their hair, everything gets affected by dehydration. The cells don't regenerate. You know, every 11 months, there's a brand new you on the inside. Brand new. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what am I using for the building blocks of those cells? If you're feeding it, you know, crappy food and you're not giving it enough water, those cells are not going to function at an optimal level. They just won't. They won't. And so that's why people in America are chronically dehydrated, because they don't get into the habit of drinking enough water. So the one habit that I would challenge you with on a health standpoint is something that I share with all my clients that I work with, and friends, family, and maybe I've shared it with you already if you know me. But the best habit that I can give you to get you moved into the right direction for A, losing or releasing weight, I should say, or just becoming an overall healthier person, is to go out to the grocery store and buy 4 liters of water. That's 4 bottles. They come in liter sizes. Now, preferably, I'd want you to get glass. Glass doesn't leach. Yeah, it's a little bit more of a hassle, but it lasts longer. It doesn't leach. There's more benefits, of course. So buy four bottles. They're 1 liter each. If you have a Whole Foods has a great Italian mineral spring water, their own brand. It's like just over a dollar a bottle, $1.29 here in California. And buy four of those. And get in the habit, the one habit, get in the habit of when you wake up in the morning, this is exactly what I do. When you wake up in the morning, you have that 1 liter of bottle right by your bedside or on your bathroom sink. Make sure you get it in the line of your habits that you do. When you get up, you probably do the same things every morning. So if you're off into the bathroom to get ready for work, then have that bottle sitting in front of the mirror, right in front of your glasses or contact lenses or your hairbrush or your blow dryer, somewhere where you're going to see it. And what I do and what I recommend to you and everybody else I know is you drink that 1 liter of water before you do anything else. Just chug it. Force it down. Now, it may be difficult at first, but it's just water. It's not going to make you feel, it's not going to make you feel like you just ate a whole pizza by yourself. That's not the feeling it gives you. But you know something? You're dehydrated when you wake up in the morning. Because think about it. You have gone roughly 6 to 8 hours with no water. And I would ask you to look at your situation during the day. Can you go 8 hours without drinking water during the day? A lot of people do. It's crazy. They're dehydrated. But normally, in most cases, you won't go more than a few hours without drinking some water. So when you go to sleep and you wake up, you're dehydrated. You want to instantly hydrate that body. So this is just one habit you can get into to get you on track. And now all you have to do is just buy those 4 liters, keep one by your bedside, and as soon as you wake up, you slam that 1 liter of water. Now, if you work out in the morning time, you don't have to worry about any dehydration issues because the body is automatically going to be hydrated. I can literally pound a liter of water, go to the gym, and not sip water at all until I'm done doing my cardio of 30 to 40 minutes because I'm automatically hydrated. I already have a ton of water in my body. And my body just keeps releasing the water because it knows it's going to keep getting more. It gets smart. You program it using the brain. And that's a part of not having a sucky life, is being healthy, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody I know takes their health for granted. Everybody. We all do. You could be the most cleanest eater in the world and, you know, live a life of veganism and don't eat dairy and don't eat meat and don't have this and don't have that. But you know something? People still take their health for granted. They do. We all do. And that's because we're in a habitual pattern of doing that. So if you're going to take your health for granted to some degree, sure, the other percentage, which should be the major percentage, doesn't take it for granted. And the basic fundamentals of taking care of your body is salt and water. Those are the two basic fundamentals. You can't live without it. You'll quickly decay. I say you either age or you decay. Pick one. Which one do you want to do? Because we don't die, we kill ourselves. We really do. The body was designed, really, in my opinion, to be immortal. It was designed to live forever. It really was, because it regenerates every 11 months. And we kill it. Now, of course, we know it's tough because we live in a world where the soil's depleted, the air is no good, you know, the water supply is no good. If you're a meat eater, I mean, that's, you know, heavily laden with antibiotics and toxins. Who the heck knows? And even if you're buying stuff that says grass-fed, how do you know really it's grass-fed? There's a lot of companies out there that really don't put on the things, the label that really is in the food. Because I can tell you right now, there's companies out there that say they're organic, and they're not. Do you think everybody labels their stuff organic's organic? You better believe it's not. There's companies all the time getting sued for mislabeling things. So how do you know that you're doing the right things? And eating the right foods. Unless you source that stuff out or really know your source, you have no idea. You're just guessing. Not to get off track on there, but ladies and gentlemen, this is about making your life amazing and operating at a much higher level. Now, I just gave you a little nugget. You want to increase your health, you want to work on releasing that weight, one of the best ways is to increase your water intake. And we do that through the form of habit. And the best habit I can give you, again, I'll reiterate that, go out and buy 4 bottles of water, 1 liter, not the 16.9 Arrowhead bottles or Crystal Geyser. I'm talking about 1 liter bottles. Okay? Just over a quart, 1.05 quarts. Buy 4 of those, and you can refill them. I use mine for a month, and then I throw them away. And every night when you get done, you can see those bottles. You can see how many bottles you drank. If you got one full one, you know you only had 3. Now, I'm not saying you have to have 4 in one day. Preferably, I do. I like to drink 128 ounces. That's 1 gallon. But if you're a little smaller, I mean, I weigh about 205, 210 pounds. So I like to get towards a gallon of water. Now, in the summertime, of course, when it's hotter, I do maybe drink a little more. But if you're a little smaller, if you're a female and you're, 120 pounds, 130 pounds, you may not need to have a gallon of water. But you know something? Your minimum should be at least a half a gallon, which would be 64 ounces of water. And that means you only need 2 of them a day. So the one habit thing is amazing, because I'm not asking you to do 2, 3, 4, 5 habits. I'm not asking you to eat better and go to the gym and do the cardio and restrict the sugar and the processed foods. And no, if your goal, objective is to get healthier and release weight, well, those are the primary things that any trainer or nutritionist will tell you you have to do is, number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4. You're going to have a set of instructions that they're going to want you to do. And if you're not going to do all of them, you're cutting yourself short, especially if you're paying somebody to do it. That's an even bigger thing. And, it's funny, because when you pay for things, you take them serious. The things that are free, we take for granted. It's quite a paradox, actually. I enjoy doing and presenting to the world this information that is just regurgitated through a collective consciousness that I tap into. And I have my own presentation of doing things, but for the most part, I do a lot of things for free. And people don't take me serious because of that. If somebody goes and spends $1,000, $2,000 on a seminar, you can bet your ass they're going to be in that seat when at the crack of dawn, whatever the heck they're supposed to be there, they're going to be attentive and they're going to be taking notes and they're going to make sure they get their money's worth. But if it's for free, what the hell does he know? What does she know? I've heard that cockamoony story a million times. It's no big deal. My life's better. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Well, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion, and in your world, you're right. But think about what I'm saying and presenting to you here. Really, the things in life that are for free, those are the things we take for granted. Society places more value on the things that you can replace, money and cars and houses and new clothes and shoes and socks and gloves and hats, sunglasses and bags. Those things all can be replaced, but you can't replace your health. Then you can correct it, but once it's gone, it's gone. You're going to pass on eventually. How you go, that's up to you. But I tell you what, man, many people that die these days, it's a formality when they pass on because they never did what they wanted to do in life. And you know why? I don't know why? Because of habits. They may be in the habit of living in fear. There's only 2 emotions in this world. There's love and there's fear. That's it. Everything else are all subcategories under each one. Love and fear. We all have fears. It challenges us to become a more loving person. And without the garbage that we call garbage out in this world, without the challenges and struggles of the bad people out there, without those people, you wouldn't thrive. But we become our own worst enemy because we really don't exercise the mind. We don't. Most people just don't do it. Now, meditation, which has become a huge sought-after topic, there's more people talking about meditation than ever before. There's so many gazillion books on it, and there's tons of videos on YouTube, and it's becoming more and more popular. Yoga is becoming a very huge, especially out here in Los Angeles and wherever you live. Yoga is extremely popular out here, and the reason why it's popular is because people are catching on and they're understanding that it works, that it makes sense, and that it changes your life to a certain degree. It lets you focus, and you get to stretch at the same time, and your body feels good, and it just has a ton of benefits. Now, I prefer just straight-up meditation where you sit in a closed-off room put some headphones on, listen to some nice meditation music, and let your mind go to town. What are you thinking about? Monitor those thoughts. And why do we do these kinds of things? Because that is called exercising the mind. That is when you break out of the routine of living the automatic pilot every single day, the mundane aspect of life. Listen, man, if your life is getting up in the morning and jumping out of bed and going downstairs and getting your cup of coffee and then getting in the shower and then pressing your clothes or, you know, getting dressed and walking the dog or whatever your routine is, it's mostly automatic. You do the same things over and over, and you do them the same way over and over. There's no difference of variation in mostly the way. You drive to work probably the same way. You probably drive the same speed on the road, whether you're a fast driver, slow driver, laid back, uptight. Same things over and over again. That's called automatic pilot. And when do you ever break out of that mold? Because if you live an automatic pilot, you don't really exercise your mind. And when you don't exercise your mind, how do you expect to make huge conscious changes in your life if you're not even aware that you have to make some changes? And again, this all goes to the habit aspect. And the problem is again, people are using their brains on the growing up brain, the adolescent brain, the brain that primarily runs your life. We have to really take a conscious approach, and we have to really think about this and say, wait a minute, am I doing everything that I can in life when it comes to making the changes I want to make? Am I doing the work? Every show that I talk on, I always mention the big three, as I call it, meditation, affirmations, and visualization. That's it. Those are the big three. In the gym, when you go to the gym and you work out, you have cardiovascular, and then you have weight training, and maybe you have spin classes, or maybe you have cardio kickboxing classes, or maybe you have the yoga, and those are your three to train the physical body, which I commend you for if you're doing that. If you're not, get in there and do it. Brain, body, and soul, it's all connected. If you're missing one of the elements, you're not going to be complete. You're not going to be balanced. And then, of course, now we move into the exercise in the mind. What is the mental aspect? What are the things that we can do to really get ourselves to a high level? Meditation, affirmations, visualization. I repeat these so much to people because that is truly exercising the mind. It's not sitting there and writing up a business plan. Sure, that is a form of exercising the mind because you're putting it to good use. Absolutely. But that's not getting out of your own way. Maybe it's something to cure procrastination. Maybe it's something to where you have a fear of not drafting up the business plan because you are afraid the business is going to fail, and that's why you've been procrastinating at it. There's a whole line of intangibles there. But mainly I'm saying is exercising the mind, is quieting the mind, doing it through a form of meditation, yoga, or just sitting in a chair and doing it, or sitting outside or whatever, going on a walk, however you want to do it, just trying to meditate is meditation. And it's becoming such a prolific piece, an integral piece in the collective consciousness now because it works. But you know, it doesn't work like a scratch ticket. It doesn't work like you going to work and expecting a paycheck after day 7 or 14. People are so used to things given to them right away. You go into the store, you lay your money down, boom, you get your bag of chips. You got your soda. You got your beer. You got your wine. I give you this, you give me that. You render your services, you get paid for it. That's what we're used to in society. But meditation is not like that. Meditation is it's a slow process. It's not a sprint. It's a long distance type of thing. And it has some profound effects on the way the body and the mind is. Profound. And if you can really start to implement that in your life will change. You're going to get out of that sucky life and you're going to get into a prosperous and abundant lifestyle. And maybe you already have, so I'll revise that. Maybe you already have a prosperous and abundant lifestyle. But you know something? I can guarantee you there is something that you want to achieve that you haven't done yet. Listen, don't think that you can say, oh, I don't live in fear at all. Yes, we all do. There's some fears that you are holding on to that you place value on, and you don't know you place value on them because they're hidden. As I say, most people living today, they live in a prison. Got no walls, no security guards, nobody holding you hostage. You got no shackles, no handcuffs. You're not wearing an orange jumpsuit. But you're still living in a prison. And that prison's habit. That's what it is. That prison's habit. And we all have them. And as I say, ladies and gentlemen, the strongest overall habit that you have is living your life the same way you did yesterday. Living your life the same way within a 24-hour period and doing it over and doing it over and doing it over. And even at that time, even when Friday comes and you're a weekend warrior, well, what is your habit on the weekends? Well, we like to go to the beach, or we like to go to the ocean, or we like to go sailing or golfing, or we go to the mountains, we go to the Grand Canyon, we go rafting, whatever. That's another habit, is hobbies. And those are fun to do, absolutely. Breaks the cycle of the work week. But then come Monday, you're right back on the same grind again. So I just posted something, and if you follow me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, I just posted a statistic. And that statistic is that there's a spike in heart attacks over 35% on Mondays. And it's not because people are falling out of love. I kind of made a joke on that, but think about that statistic. 35% increase in heart attacks on Monday. Why do you think that is? Because people are dreading that same habitual life they have to wake up to Monday morning and go do the grind. Because they're not living their passion. They're doing something that they call work. And I hate that word. I really do. I just dislike it. And we use it so freely and openly. I got to go to work today. People just say it just like that. But do you realize, and this is obviously from a neurolinguistic standpoint, work has negative connotations applied to it. Same as diet. Oh, I got to go on this diet. You're going to dread that diet. Nobody likes to go on a diet. People just want to do what the hell they want to do. And nobody really wants to go to work. Working is the worst way to make money, by the way. That's what Bob Proctor says, and I agree. But living your passion, you'll never work another day in your life. And you know something? People wake up, and that's why they have the heart attacks on Monday. Because they don't get out of their own way. And you want to know why they end up having the heart attacks? Because they don't exercise their minds. And quite frankly, if you're having a heart attack, of course, maybe the stress is triggering that, knowing that you got a whole full work week coming up and you got to just take on that whole work week, but also the fact that you're probably not taking care of yourself. People that have heart attacks, something wrong in the heart with the valves or the blood vessels or whatever. So it's all connected, and that's why, you know, again, that's why I say brain, body, soul, in that order. Because in order for you to work out with the body, well, people say, well, how about body first? Well, you would think that, because obviously if you don't have your health, you got nothing. If you're handicapped, that's going to limit you in life. So if we move in towards the brain first, the brain's going to be either an asset or a liability. You can't go to the gym. You can't eat right if you can't think straight. If you're a vegetable, you ain't thinking straight. How can you take care of yourself physically? So the brain comes first, then second to the body. And then thirdly is your soul, your spirit, in that order. And, you know, you can work out of the order if you want. Many people do. But, you know, I know a lot of unhealthy spiritual, so-called spiritual people. And they're unhealthy as hell. They neglect their health. And you know what? They're entitled to do whatever they want to do. I don't practice those, and I don't present those to people on the people that I associate myself with and coach and work with. I work in the fashion of brain, body, soul, because that's where it's at. And normally with clients, I always say start with the physical first. So maybe you listening tonight to come in for a landing on this segment, you got about 5 minutes left. I want to recap this. So as we know, we have two different segments of the brain, the adult and the child, the growing up brain and the grown up brain. Which one are you using? Are you using the grown up brain or the growing up brain? The adult brain or the child brain? Who's running the show when you live your life every single day? You know, Bob Proctor says that most people are not even the stars in their own movie. Because you know what? You're in a movie right now. And you're living it out. And as he says, man, most people are not even the stars in their own movie. They're just extras, maybe a walk-on here and there. But they're afraid. And if you've been to Landmark, which is a great personal development, I would encourage you to go do that. They say, you're not on the court. You're in the grandstands watching. The game of life, man, you're not going to stop it, but you can surely learn how to play it. You can surely learn how to play it. We want to focus on establishing using the grown-up brain, the logical one, the rational thinker, the one that actually takes their time about making decisions, thinks about stuff, exercises the mind. And we want to do meditation every day. Every day. We want to do it every day. You feed yourself every day. You get dressed every day. You know, I mean, don't you think it's worth feeding the brain, exercising the mind, doing that stuff? Very important. And then, of course, affirmations. Now, you've heard me repeat all this stuff over and over. I know I sound like a broken record, but you know what? That's what drilled it into your head. And it keeps me sharp because I keep saying it over and over again because I practice what I preach. Affirmations are a powerful tool. And that gets you out of the mundane, sucky life. What are you saying to yourself? What's that little voice in the back of your head that never shuts up? What is that thing telling you? Because it's a damn liar if it's telling you anything that you can't move forward. And you know, a lot of people, when they say something, when they hear something, they automatically retort with that voice in the back of their head that says, no, you can't. You can't do that. You're going to look stupid if you do that. What if you fail? You don't have enough money to take that risk. What will happen to you? That's what stops us. And that's what keeps us stuck in the growing up mind. Is that little voice in the back of our head. If we could just shut that thing off, and guess what? You're not going to. So as I say, if you're going to have that voice in the back of your head and you're not going to be able to shut it up, you better tell it what to do. You better start telling it what to do. And you know, the thing about it is if you're living on automatic pilot, then you're literally, life's controlling you. It's controlling you. You're not controlling it. You're a puppet on strings. You're not the puppeteer. And that's because of the fact that you don't exercise your mind. You cannot get into what's causing your issues that are holding you back if you don't face them, if you don't acknowledge them, if you don't know they're there. That's why I said people are living in a prison. They don't even know it. You don't have to wear an orange jumpsuit to live in a prison. For most people, life is a prison with no walls and no security guards and no guns and no handcuffs and none of that. It's just a free society, but it's a prison because they are not courageous enough to move into form of what they really want to do. Earl Nightingale on his great The Strangest Secret. If you want to listen to some great philosophy, listen to The Strangest Secret. It's on YouTube by Earl Nightingale. And he says in that discourse, he says, the opposite of courage is conformity. People conform to their life. And that's what I said earlier in the segment. When you came into this world, you bought into what everybody else buys into. Maybe not to the same exact degree, but you bought into, you know, oh, I gotta do this. I gotta go to school and I gotta get a driver's license and I gotta get a job and I gotta go do this and there's a lot of things you don't have to do. Matter of fact, you don't have to do anything. I'll let you give you a little tidbit before we end up here. Do you know you do not need a driver's license? Bet you didn't know that. You don't need one. People think they do because that's what we're programmed to do. 16 years old, driver's test, go down to the DMV, pay the fine or the fee, and get your driver's license. You don't need a driver's license to drive a car. But people think you do. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but you don't. Go investigate it. But we're all programmed to think that's the way it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for your participation tonight. My name is Logan Jason, Brain, Body, and Soul, powered by the 22days.com radio network. It's been a great night. Let's start living prolific and being the people that we really came here to be. Catch me on Facebook, Logan Jason Piet, or Instagram, 22days.com. Everybody have a great night. Thank you for joining. See you next time.